Good morning, everyone. It's great to be able to speak with you this morning. I'm missing seeing your faces. Now, this morning we come to the end of our series on the book of Deuteronomy. And in this final chapter of the book, we see just how great Israel's leader was. When Moses dies, the whole nation grieves for a whole month. And I wonder if you noticed those concluding words at the end that we read just a moment ago. It said, "Since then, no prophet has arisen in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, who did all those signs and wonders." Moses was a great leader, the greatest that Israel ever saw. And yet, as we look at this final section of the book, there's a real tension here. For all his greatness, Moses leaves the people at the most critical point on their journey. Israel are on the brink of entering Canaan, this land that God has promised them. But Moses will not go in with them. In fact, he cannot go in with them. And so how will Israel continue without their leader? Back at Sinai, Moses was absent from the people for about a month, and the whole nation virtually fell apart. Well, what chance do they have now that Moses is gone for good? What confidence can they have? Well, today in these final chapters of Deuteronomy, we will see that God's people can have confidence. And their confidence lies in the fact that he is their God. And he continues to raise up a leader for his people. And so whatever else happens, God remains committed to bless his people through the servant that he's chosen. And this is a reassuring message for us to hear in the midst of the current uncertainties that we face. We don't know whether our medical system can cope with the increasing number of COVID infections. We don't know whether our economy can withstand the financial burden of the pandemic. We don't know whether the vaccine at this stage, when and how will allow us to move around freely again. Thinking about Afghanistan, who knows how those events are going to unfold. And yet in the midst of these uncertainties in life, the same God who spoke to ancient Israel speaks to us this morning. And as we likewise stand at the edge of the land, not at the edge of Canaan, we stand at the edge of eternity. And as we stand there, we're only ever one breath away from departing this life and entering the next. And as we consider our future beyond this life, what this life will look like, what certainty can we have? Well, in the face of these uncertainties of life, I want you to hear this morning these words of assurance from these final chapters of Deuteronomy. And as we look at Deuteronomy 33 and 34 this morning, we'll see three things in particular. The first is that God's people are blessed because he is their God. The second is that it is through God's chosen servant that God blesses his people. And lastly, although we see the greatness of Moses, of God's leader, we actually see that God's people need someone greater. Now, each year, the US News and World Corporation produce a list of the greatest countries in the world. They rank all the countries of the world from greatest to least. And in their 2021 report, they list Canada in the top spot as the number one country in the world, followed by Japan, then Germany, and then in number four, Switzerland, and then in fifth place, Australia, just above the US. Now, I've actually got dual Swiss and Australian citizenship, so I'm quite chuffed about those results there, fourth and fifth. Now, the US News and World Report is based on a variety of metrics. And I wonder what you would think it is that makes a country great. So if you think about Australia, we've got a relatively stable economy, a stable democratic government. We punch above our weight in sport. I think in the recent Olympics we were sixth, and in the Paralympics at the moment we're coming around about the same. Australia does pretty well. But if you were to rank ancient Israel here in Deuteronomy, in a list of countries, they would probably end up somewhere towards the bottom. They were not overly populous. They were not wealthy. They had little military might. And yet here in Deuteronomy, at the end of Deuteronomy, we read that Israel are so great that they are beyond compare. There is no other people that even comes close to them. In chapter 33 here, just before the one that we read, Moses pronounces a blessing on Israel. It's like a prayer for each of the tribes of Israel. He prays that God would bless them in the land that they're about to possess. And at the beginning and the end of this blessing, we have these statements that are like bookends, and they show us why Israel are so great. So if you look with me at on the screen, verse 29 of Deuteronomy 33, it says, "Blessed are you, Israel, who is like you, a people saved by the Lord. He is your shield and helper and your glorious sword. Your enemies will cower before you, and you will tread on their heights." Who is like you, Israel? The answer is no one. There is no one like Israel because there is no one like the God of Israel, the God who saves them. Israel are great. Israel are blessed because the Lord is their God. And so as they stand on the plains of Moab across the Jordan River, just across from the land that they're about to inherit, what confidence can they have? Well, their confidence is this, that their God is like no other. Have a look with me at verse 26 of chapter 33, where we read, "There is no one like the God of Jeshurun." Jeshurun is a term of endearment for Israel. "There is no one like the God of Israel, who rides across the heavens to help you and on the clouds in his majesty. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms." There is no one like Israel because there is no one like Israel's God. The God who miraculously brought Israel up out of slavery in Egypt. The God who made Israel a nation at Sinai. The God who has led them through the desert these last 40 years. He is the one who has promised the land that lies before them, and he is the one who will give it to them. God's people are blessed because he is the one who saves them. But notice now how it is that God saves his people. God saves his people through his chosen servant. Moses was the man that God raised up from among Israel. He is the one that God sent to perform signs and wonders against Pharaoh and to bring Israel up out of Egypt. He is the one who mediates between God and the people. It's because Moses interceded for the people that God held back from wiping them out completely when they rebelled. Moses has led Israel through the wilderness these last 40 years, and he's brought them to their destination. And now it's this same Moses who prays this prayer, this blessing in chapter 33 for Israel. And Moses goes through, as I said, and he names each of the tribes geographically from south to north in terms of the order that they're going to inherit the land. And he calls on God to prosper them as they come into the land. And so Moses, after leading the people for 40 years to their inheritance, now with his final breaths, he sends them on their way, calling on God to bless them. And as Moses finishes, God calls him to the top of Mount Nebo. I've got a slide here with a photo from the top of Mount Nebo, which is in modern-day Jordan. So Moses would have seen something like this. This is part of the view that he would have seen. And from this vantage point, God shows Moses the entire land that Israel are about to possess. And he says to him, "This is the land that I promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob when I said, 'I will give it to your descendants.'" This is a massive, massive moment. See here the great faithfulness of God. God made a promise to Abraham nearly four centuries earlier that his descendants would inherit this land. And true to his word, God has used his servant Moses to bring Israel to the promised land. And finally, Moses stands here at the brink of the land and he surveys the entire land that God is about to give Israel. Here it is. And here they are. God's people are blessed because he is their God, and God saves his people through the servant that he has appointed, the man Moses. And notice how great Moses is. Look at the description of him again that we read at the end of chapter 34. Moses is greater than anyone who comes after him. Not because he's perfect, but because of the relationship that Moses had with God. Moses spoke with God face to face, like a friend. And Moses is great because through Moses, God performed signs and wonders to free his people from Egypt. Look with me at verse 12 if you've got it open there. "No one has ever shown the mighty power or performed the awesome deeds that Moses did in the sight of all Israel." The great deeds that Moses did validated his role. Moses was a true prophet of God. He was God's spokesperson to the people. And so the signs and the wonders that God did through Moses confirmed the truth of the words that came from his mouth. And so these words, this law here in Deuteronomy, this is the very word of God. In the Tokyo Olympics this year, the American swimming team were criticized for not performing as well as they were expected to. And prior to the games, the American swimmer Lily King was really talking it up. She boldly claimed that the US women's swimming team could win every medal in the pool. But in the end, America were not able to back it up. From the American perspective, the results were a little bit disappointing. Moses, on the other hand, does not disappoint. His words are backed up by action. Moses is shown here to be a true prophet of God. The signs and wonders that God did through Moses confirm the authenticity of his words. And so the words that Moses brings to the people, the law that he gives them, is truly the word of God. And so Israel's future, the sequel to their story, depends on their keeping the words of this law here in Deuteronomy, the very word of God. So to summarize what we've seen so far, we've seen that in these final chapters of Deuteronomy, firstly, God blesses his people. God's people are blessed because God is the one who saves them. And secondly, God saves his people. God blesses his people through the servant that he's raised up, through their chosen leader. But right at the end of Deuteronomy, we encounter one of the great tragedies of the book. Israel's leader will not enter the land with them. After showing him the land, God says to Moses these words. He says, "I've let you see the land with your eyes, but you will not cross over into it." And Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in Moab, as the Lord had said. He buried him in Moab, in the valley opposite Beit Peor. So right at the very edge of the land that Israel are about to inherit, Moses dies. Although Moses is 120 years old, we read, this is no natural death. Verse 7 tells us that Moses was still very much full of life. Moses hasn't simply died of old age. No, this is God's judgment on him. At the 2000 Olympics in Sydney, moving back a little bit now, Jane Saville, an Australian athlete, was on track to win gold in the 20K women's walk. And after a grueling 19 kilometres, Jane was well in front of her competitors. She'd done the hard work. She'd made it to the end. She could hear the cheering in the stadium as she approached, as she came down the tunnel into the stadium. But about 300 metres from the finish line, as she was about to come down that tunnel into the stadium, an official stepped out and raised his red paddle, and she was disqualified. Just at the point of finishing the race, Jane had led the way, but right at the end, the victory was taken from her. And here at the end of Deuteronomy, Moses, if you like, is disqualified. And yet this doesn't come as a surprise to him. This is the judgment that God had pronounced many years earlier when he'd failed to obey God in Massah when the Israelites had asked for water, when they had complained against God. And so Moses, as great as he was, the greatest leader that Israel would ever have, even he cannot bring the people into the land. In fact, Israel can't enter the land until Moses dies. The people of Israel, if you like, are the reason that Moses cannot enter the land. It's because of their grumbling against God. And in some way, Moses cops the flak for what they've done. And now that their leader is dead, well, what is to become of Israel? Well, God's people need a new leader, one who can bring them into the land, one greater even than Moses. And so we read in verse 9 that the leadership passes to Joshua. Under Joshua, God will bring his people and he will give them rest in the land, just as he promised to Abraham. And if this were a movie, it's at this point that those dreaded words would flash up on the screen, to be continued. And we'd be left wondering, what's going to happen next? How does the story continue? Well, sadly, we know the rest of Israel's history. Joshua himself eventually dies after bringing the people into the land, and things quickly go downhill after that. Sure, there are some high points under King David and King Solomon, but by and large, the story of Israel is a story of disobedience. Israel failed to keep the law that Moses sets before them here in Deuteronomy. And over the 1,000 years of their occupation in the land, God raises up prophet after prophet to call them back to obedience to the law. But just as they mistreated Moses, Israel mistreat and kill the prophets that God sends, until eventually God drives them out of the land altogether. Until, at just the right time, God raises up another prophet, one final prophet, a prophet who, like Moses, stood on the other side of the Jordan, across from the land of Israel, John the Baptist, a man who, like Moses, called the people to obedience, a prophet who paved the way not for Joshua, but for a new Joshua, Jesus of Nazareth. And it's this Jesus who was a greater leader than Joshua, greater even than Moses. If Moses was a house, says the writer of Hebrews, then Jesus is like the builder of the house. In Israel's history, there was no one greater than Moses until now. Jesus performed greater miracles even than Moses. Where Israel failed, and even Moses failed to completely obey God, Jesus fully kept God's law. Jesus not only spoke the words of God, Jesus was the Word of God. He was God revealed in the flesh. And like Moses, Jesus was mistreated by the people. And yet his death provides the very means to enter not the land of Canaan, but heaven itself. Jesus was not just a friend of God who spoke to him face to face, but the Son of God himself. And Jesus lives eternally. Where the death of Moses prevented him from bringing the people into the land, Jesus has been raised to life and lives eternally to bring us into the eternal dwelling that God has promised. Moses was the greatest leader that God's people had ever seen, but they needed someone greater. Jesus is the one greater than Moses. And as we finish the book of Deuteronomy, I want to reflect just briefly on three great truths. First is the incredible faithfulness of God. Israel's disobedience cannot overturn God's promise to bless his people. God brings Israel to the land, just as he's promised. And yet God's promise is fulfilled in an even greater way, in the sending of his own Son to reconcile all of humanity and bring us home. Secondly, God blesses his people through his chosen servant. It's only in Jesus that ultimately salvation is found. He is the one who leads us home. And so, friends, stick with Jesus. If Israel were rejected because they rejected their leader Moses and failed to obey the law that he gave them, how will we be saved if we reject the one greater than Moses? Friends, continue to trust and obey the one whom God has appointed for us, the Lord Jesus. Now, probably the easiest way to drift away from Jesus is to isolate yourself from his people. And so as hard as it is during COVID, I want to urge you to continue to connect online with one another. We're all more stressed than usual. We're worn out. We're probably sick of Zoom. But as hard as it is, keep connecting with one another online on Sundays through online church and during the week as much as you can. And don't give up reading your Bible during this time. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. And if you have kids, help them to do the same. And finally, these last chapters of Deuteronomy, they speak a real word of assurance to us this morning. One greater than Moses has now come. And as we stand at the edge of eternity, as we face our own mortality, we no longer do so alone. Jesus has passed through death for us. He has gone to prepare a place for us in God's presence forever. And so when a loved one dies, knowing Christ, we can know for sure that Jesus will come back. We can know that he will bring them safely to be with him forever. And when we ourselves face the threat of COVID, or a terminal diagnosis, or when we eventually come to the end of our lives, our confidence is this, that we have one greater than Moses. Jesus will not leave us on this side of the Jordan, but through him, God will bring us home. God's offer of heaven is still open. The promise of entering his rest still stands if you will follow the one that he has sent, if you will trust Jesus to save you. Why don't we pray to finish? Lord God, we marvel at your great faithfulness to your people, even to us this morning. Who is a God like you? Thank you for raising up a servant even greater than Moses. Thank you for sending your own son to rescue us and to bring us home. Please help us to stick with Jesus, to trust and follow him until he brings us safely to our eternal home with you. Amen.